Red Dwarf Series 6 Episode 4, Imahawk, Polymorph II. In this episode, our friends are confronted with Jelfs. The Polymorph or Imahawk, a Zee again appears on the ship. As you can remember from the previous episode, a Polymorph can suck out an emotion. Are there going to be any emotions lost? And what about those Jelfs? Are they going to kill harm the crew? Come aboard and find out. External view of Starbuck. Starbuck's sleeping quarters. Warning. Rimmer enters at a run as alert sirens start to blare.
S-C-R-A-M-B-L-E, S-C-R-A-M-B-L-E. All hands on deck, emergency drill, scramble.
Rimmer runs out of the room. Close-up of Lister's face with no sign of life. Rimmer walks back in.
Perhaps you didn't catch that. I said scramble.
Yeah, that'll be great with bacon and beans, man.
Look, Starbuck is a blazing inferno. The engine room is waist-deep in rocket fuel and we're being attacked off the starboard bow by an unidentified craft.
Really?
No, of course not really. It's a drill. We're pretending that Starbuck is on fire and under attack.
And I'm pretending to scramble, man.
Look, you've got 30 seconds to get out of bed or I'm declaring you officially dead.
Rimmer leaves the room.
Good, then we can rest in peace.
Starbuck cockpit. Rimmer and Crichton are sat at the controls, a red alert sign flashes in the background. Lister walks in, sighing and pulling himself together, and sits in the co-pilot's chair. Cat follows and sits in the pilot's chair.
Congratulations, scrambling in a red alert situation, a new record time 1 hour 17 minutes and 39 seconds.
Hey, not bad. And I bet we could bet it down to 1.16 if we cut out that fourth round of toast.
You think I'm a petty-minded bureaucratic nincompoop who delights in enforcing pernickety regulations because he gets some sort of perverse pleasure from it, and in many ways you're absolutely damn right, but that doesn't alter the fact that the only way we're going to track down Red Dwarf and get through this is with a sense of discipline, a sense of purpose, and wherever possible a sensible haircut.
I'm going back to bed.
Would it harm you to have hair like mine?
I have got hair like yours. Just not on my head.
Well, I'm no stranger to the land of Scoff. Perhaps you'd like to explain to me why it is that every major battle in history has been won by the side with the shortest haircuts.
Oh, surely not, sir.
Think about it, why did the Ice Cavalry beat the Indian Nation? Short back and sides versus girly hippie locks. The Cavaliers and the Roundheads 1-0 to the Pudding Basins. Vietnam, crew cuts both sides, no score draw.
Oh, for a really world-class psychiatrist.
Check your screens, I'm getting something up my left nostril and it's coming in fast.
Scans are all negative. At the risk of challenging your olfactory excellence, sir, perhaps a razzling is in order.
I'm telling you, bud, my nostril hairs are shimmying faster than a grass skirt on a fat Hawaiian hula hoop champion. There's something out there.
Scans still dry.
That's it. I'm invoking Space Corp Directive 68250.
68250. But, sir, surely that's impossible without at least one live chicken and a rabbi.
Forget it. Forget I was ever born.
But sir, I'm very happy to perform the ceremony, but I'm bewildered as to how sacrificing poultry will clear up the screen problem.
Wait a minute, getting something. Major power surge off the port bow.
He's right. Some kind of vessel. It appears to be uncloaking.
He's too damn close. That power surge tosses around like we're a bead of sweat in an aerobic teacher's buttock cleavage.
Hang on, here it comes.
Starbuck is rocked by some sort of shock wave.
Damage report.
Superficial, navicomps down, slight rupture in fuel pipe 9 and somehow the pilot's headset has got jammed on the country and western channel.
Second wave coming.
External view of Starbuck as it flies toward the camera, some sort of spinning disc orb flies past very close to Starbuck, into the foreground and back toward Starbuck again. Starbuck cockpit. The crew are thrown about as Starbuck is shaken by another wave.
What's he thinking of, warping that close to another vessel? Damn space hog.
My god, that's a Space Corp external enforcement vehicle.
What?
The space filth.
Filth is not dirt but a slang word for police.
A computer-controlled enforcement probe.
Incoming.
Property Corp space removing, and equipment Corp space damaging, ships Corp space of series eluding with charge formerly RU.
The materialization must have scrambled its voice unit. It's making about as much sense as a Japanese VCR instruction manual.
Plead do you how?
It's in reverse. How do you plead?
How do we plead to what?
It's charging us with looting Space Corp derelicts.
But we don't loot Space Corp derelicts. We just hack our way in and swipe what we need.
If this goes to trial, I demand secret lawyers.
What's the penalty for this? If it means wearing outfits with arrows on, I'm committing suicide.
No, sir. It means wearing outfits with wings and halos on, sir. The penalty is execution.
Why so harsh?
It's frontier law, sir, and we are the equivalent of horse rustlers. Severe sentencing is the only way of maintaining law and order. Don't expect it to show us any mercy.
What do we do, question mark?
Let's face it, sir, we are as guilty as the man behind the grassy knoll.
Yeah, but if we admit it, it'll blow us out of the stars.
Recommendations?
Suggest I take the rap for everyone, sir. You can say I held you at gunpoint and forced you to do my evil bidding.
For God's sake, Crichton, we can't let you do that.
Really?
Dream on, Metal Crash. Get your hands in the air and step into that searchlight.
Minute one, have you?
No choices then, we like it. Plot a course for Scarper City.
Sir, a Class A enforcement orb can easily outrun us. The Eastburn Zimmer Frame Relay team can easily outrun us. It's not about speed, it's about wit, brains and cunning. HMM, I was hoping it wouldn't come to that, sir.
Take a look at your screens. We're 7 clicks away from the Jelf Zone. It wouldn't follow us in there in a gazillion years.
No, because Jelfs are untrustworthy scavengers with no regard for life, law or property.
Right. So we'll be safe.
Lister, you've heard the stories. They skin human beings alive and turn them into beanbags. Unless you want a triple bug Jelf sitting on your face for the rest of eternity and probing your crevices for lost forks and pyros, I suggest you rethink.
It's the lesser of two evils, sir. In the absence of any sane plan, I suggest we go with MR Listers.
Seconds 20 in firing commence, will I reply of absence in?
Roughly translated, hit the reheat.
You don't have to tell me twice.
Catman, hit the reheat.
Oh, sorry. Looks like you do have to tell me twice.
External view as Starbuck accelerates away from the probe. Firing commence, will I or halt? Starbuck cockpit.
In which case, Bonnie Butts are movelets.
Close comms.
Comms closed.
Jelf zone, 6 clicks and closing.
Weapon lock registered. Pulse missile launched.
Impact in 10 seconds.
That's it. We're platform shoes, man.
Firing chef. Firing flares.
Brace for impact.
External view of missile streaking across the screen and just missing Starbuck.
Missed us. Warning shot across the bows.
We won't be so fortunate next time.
4 clicks to Jelf zone.
Another lock. This time it won't be a warning shot.
Incoming pulse fire.
Decoys launched.
It's not going to be enough. 6 seconds to impact.
We've got to try and shake them off.
External view of Starbuck swaying from side to side as a missile streaks past, just missing, then Starbuck veers off sharply to the left as another missile closes in. Starbuck cockpit.
We've lost it.
Big explosion from somewhere further back in Starbuck.
Sorry. I was looking at the wrong panel.
External view of Starbuck engulfed in flames, most particularly from around the nose. Lots of smoke. Lister is trying to put out a number of fires with a fire extinguisher.
Damage report.
It's bad. Looks like Starbuck's been hit.
Details, how about breath?
Well, according to the damage report machine, there's several small fires in the cockpit, lots of smoke and the Navicomp's fizzing.
One of the consoles in front of the cab is fizzing. Then something else in front of him explodes.
Oh damn, now the damage report machine has exploded.
Another Larkon.
This one's to finish us off.
How far to the Jelf zone?
Click and a half.
We've lost 3 fuel tanks, there's barely enough to get us stable.
Wait, I'm picking something up.
Got it, putting it on visual.
One of Starbuck's screens changes to show a picture of an asteroid which has been shaped like a skull.
Look at that thing, it must be a mile and a half across.
A Jelf icon carved out of solid rock. It must be some kind of warning beacon.
Incoming message.
Karn, that's that thing. Wat Wamura.
Running it through the translator.
This is Jelf space. Death to the strangers.
Pulse missile launch impact in 12 seconds and counting.
Cat, head for the eye socket.
The eye socket?
Just do it.
8 seconds.
External view of asteroid. Camera closes in on it. Starbuck cockpit.
It's solid rock.
3 seconds to 1.
External view. Just as Starbuck enters the eye socket, the missile impacts on the asteroid's surface, totally obliterating the asteroid. Starbuck emerges from the other side of the exploding rock and is engulfed in flames once more. Even more smoke.
80% of the maneuvering thrusters are out.
The infrared reports 53 separate fires.
The sprinkler systems are down on all 3 decks of the engine room.
There's no way to put it out. As soon as it hits, the fuel tanks will blow.
Hey, wait a minute. Jelf Moon bearing 356 by 121. It's got an ocean. Can you get us there?
Does mouse shit roll? I'll get you there, bud.
External view of Starbuck crashing into a big lake. The fires on the outside of the ship go out immediately. Starbuck midsection. Rimmer enters carrying a large case and puts it onto a pile of other crates which Crichton and the cat have been stacking up.
Look at it. All our possessions, all our valuables. Between fire, flood, and impact damage, we've lost damn near everything.
Rimmer leaves, going into the cockpit.
Well, at least M.R. Lister's guitar survived intact.
Cat takes the guitar and breaks it in two across the cases and then hands it back to...
Not even M.R. Lister's guitar survived intact.
Lister walks in wearing chest-high waders.
It's waist-high down there, but at least I managed to get the pumps working. 3 hours and we'll be dry.
Rimmer comes back in.
Thrusters, B-O-O-S-T-E-R-S, R-E-H-E-A-T, auto repair can take care of everything, except for the oxygeneration unit, which is totally kaputsky.
So you're telling me we can take off but we can't breath?
And we can't repair it?
It's a black and charred mess, worse than one of Lister's drunken fry-ups.
Well, we're snookered. Unless we go out and trade with the Jelfs.
Trade? You can't be serious.
Sir, it does appear to be our only option.
Wide jug of Starbuck resting half in the lake. A small boat is just leaving it, heading for the shore. The lakeshore. Night. Lister is leading the crew as they hack their way through the tall grass and reeds. He and Kat are carrying one of the chests. Suddenly, an arrow flies through the air and thuds into the chest. As they put it down, Crichton removes the arrow and looks at it.
Give me the arrow. It could tell us a whole heck of a lot about who we're dealing with here.
Anything?
Yep. This sure came from a bow, alright. I was expecting to get a lot more than that.
HMMM, as we anticipated, they are the Kanuwali. Good. I have studied the dialect. They are one of the friendlier Kintich, or tribes.
Nice welcome.
No, sir. It is a great Kanawarana to be greeted in this manner. They would have killed us the instant we landed if they had taken exception to us. That's a very good sign.
What? It's a good sign they haven't killed us.
Absolutely, sir. With the Kanuwali not skinning you alive the moment they set eyes on you is one of their warmest greetings. We are indeed Kankasagor blessed.
And Crichton, you are indeed a Kachimbapo, or Smargalek Melegit.
They cross a small bridge which is on the edge of a village of small mud and thatch huts. It is lit with many torches and as they enter they are confronted by a number of figures wearing long dark robes with the hoods drawn over their faces.
I will tell them we are traders in search of an engine park and that we have many rare treasures to trade. Kanuwali Nhich Nhich Sistan Kano Nakupaku.
One of the creatures comes forward, the leader. His hood is down and his robe is open. He looks like an ugly Bigfoot. Think of Harry and the Hendersons if you know it. Transcriber's note, from this point on we hear a lot of Kanuwalin and I have tried to transcribe it as best I could, but it gives you the idea anyway.
Nirnel deck there.
Look, look what we got. We got Swiss watches, nice watches. Levy jeans. Hey, a hat, look at this. Hey, nice hat. Cigar. Cool dude.
Jelfs have this thing through orifices in their faces. Let's hope you haven't offended him. No, he seems quite pleased.
We need an oxygeneration unit, savvy.
Ajigan
Bashu Meshawawa.
Elise Taba.
Cat, get the case man.
Jelf Hut. It is quite cramped with all of them in there. There is a fire in the middle of the hut. The crew are sat on one side and the Jelfs on the other. The Jelf leader, who is talking to one of the other Jelfs, has a strange creature in one arm. It is not too dissimilar to the alien from Aliens, only a lot smaller. The Jelf leader is feeding this creature.
It seems to be going well.
What is that thing?
It's an Imahawk, sir. A polymorph that is paid at birth and is half-domesticated. It's trained to change shape at its owner's behest like all polymorphs. It's an emotional leech. It has the ability to steal emotions from living creatures. Emotions are a highly valued trading commodity.
A Jelf appears, carrying an OG unit.
Ah, the oxygeneration unit.
Looks like they are ready to fix a price.
I thought we'd already fixed a price with all the bangles and baubles we'd given them.
Oh no, sir, that was just for the honor of entering their Watunga, or hut. The buggering proper begins now.
Rekrat wig dig on a tut pub.
Oh dear.
What? What? You want my hat?
At new duka on a wig ba.
My jacket? You want my jacket? Question mark.
No, sir, he doesn't want your jacket.
He doesn't want my longjohns, does he?
Not your longjohns either, sir.
Well, what then?
At new duka on a wig ba.
The exclamation point, he wants me.
Yes, sir. He says in exchange for the oxygeneration unit he wants.
You to be his dugger's mate. Close up of Jelf with longing look in her eyes.
That's his dugger.
One of three. Apparently, sir, she's the lurker.
Close up on Jelf again, very ugly Bigfoot.
Tell him, not if she was the last Wagger Yeti lookalike in the world and I was the only boy.
Oh, come on, Lister, you've dated worse.
Only due to very poor disco lighting.
On a beg you the guy why can it call ba.
He says, no wedding, no OG unit.
Jelf's rise to leave.
Penta make you, Penta waha.
HMM, yes, he's giving us 5 Hanukkah to decide.
How long's a Hanukkah?
Curiously enough, it's exactly the same as 1 Earth minute.
5 Hanukkah. That only gives us 28 hours.
Okay, let's get out our sheet music and play the real waltz. There is no way I am going down to Moss Bros for anyone who is less attractive than my own arm after 20 games of table tennis.
What about us? You're not going to hang all of us out to dry just because for some reason she doesn't hit your G-SPOP. What about sacrifice? Putting your friend's interests before your own selfish drives.
Rumor, it would never work out. She's obviously an Aries, and me and Aries, forget it.
Sir, they are a proud people and will not change their minds unless you are prepared to stay here and marry Hakakakachachachach.
That's her name. I could never settle down with anyone whose name sounds like a footballer clearing his nose.
The plan is obvious. We do the trade, you go through with the webbing, when everybody is asleep we come back and rescue you. What do you say?
Not a chance in hell.
Webbing Watunga. The Jelf leader is conducting the ceremony. Pan across to Lister and his bride. She has flowers and a ribbon in her hair. Lister has a flower chain around his hat.
Anadakaz, Anadakwa, he.
I do.
Anazunka, Zunkata.
Cohen NF, what's he saying?
You may kiss the bride, sir.
What, without a bag?
His bride grabs him and embraces him with a passion. As she lets go, Crichton throws confetti over the happy couple. The Jelf throws her bouquet of flowers up and they are caught by Rumor. An even uglier Jelf smiles and waves a dainty wave at Rumor, who quickly stuffs the bouquet into Cat's hands. Lister is lifted off the ground by his whiff, and as he is carried off screen he calls out to the rest of the crew.
Don't be strangers, guys. Say yeah soon. Drop in any time.
Kanabiyak, Anikanyak.
They bow to each other and then appear to go to shake hands, but instead they both lean further forwards around the other's back to grab the foot they have each raised, and they then shake feet. Crichton, Rumor and Cat all leave with the OG unit. Honeymoon hut. Lister is carried in by his bride. She drops him onto the bed and lays on top of him.
Well, darling, what a day. I'm pooped, straight to sleep for me.
Lister tries to pull the blanket over himself, but the Jelf stops him.
Maybe in the morning. Good night.
The Jelf pulls the blanket back down.
You've been looking forward to this, haven't you?
Okay.
Okay, just give me a couple of minutes. I want to slip into something a little more comfortable. It's called Starbug.
Lister gets up and heads for the door. Jelf Village. Night. Crichton, Rumor and Cat are just leaving the village. Suddenly Lister appears in the background running very fast.
Change of plan, like it.
They all run off. Further back in the village the Jelf comes out of her hut. Lister's...
He's left me on my webby night. Men. They're all bastards.
They've taken the OG unit. No one steals from the Kinawali. Fly my beauty, feast on their emotions, drain them dry.
He then releases the Imahawk. Woods. Night. The crew are running through the woods.
Wait. Something's coming.
It's the Imahawk.
Screeching and flapping sounds. Then the noises stop. All look around warily. Cat picks up a big stick.
What happened? Where did it go?
It must have transmuted into something else. Suggest we proceed with extreme caution.
They creep along cautiously.
It's somewhere close, I can smell it. It's the stick. Ugh. Oh, no it's not. Oh god, I'm so jumpy, I thought it was the stick.
The stick turns into the Imahawk.
It is the stick all, ugh.
They panic and Cat tosses the stick Imahawk away. Lister's hat falls off.
Where is it now?
It's gone off into the undergrowth.
Lister retrieves his hat and puts it on. They move off and Lister is seen stepping on his hat, which is lying where it fell.
Cat, you know what they like. Stay on the case. Don't pick anything up.
Lister's hat has now changed back to the Imahawk and is seen perched on Lister's head. No one else notices as Lister is at the back of the party.
100% concentration at all times.
Yeah.
Starbuck midsection. The crew enter. Crichton is carrying the OG unit. Rumor and Cat are carrying a deflated rubber dinghy. Lister is last and seals the outer doors.
That's it. We're airtight. Damn thing can't get in now. And all it took was a little bit of concentration.
How long before we can go? We don't really want a visit from Listy's in-laws demanding their wedding present back.
It will take an hour or so to get the oxygeneration unit set up, but suggest we take off now, sir, and use emergency supplies until the OG unit's online.
What if it doesn't work?
Then Cat and M.R. Lister will choke to death.
A plan with no drawbacks.
Both exit to the cockpit. The Imahawk changes into a hen and moves off into another part of the ship. External shot of Starbuck lifting off from the surface. Cockpit.
Time we fitted that OG unit. Crigers.
I'm on my way, sir.
They both leave the cockpit.
That smell is still driving me crazy. I've gotta wash my hands. Transferring to auto.
Midsection. Lister and Crichton are just leaving with the OG unit. Cat enters. He stops and sniffs the air, a puzzled look on his face. He starts searching for the source of the smell. Galley. The Imahawk is on one of the work surfaces, still in a hen form. It changes into an open can of baked beans. Cat enters, sniffing along the worktops until he comes to the can of beans. He picks it up and looks inside. The beans are moving about. Before Cat has a chance to react, a tentacle reaches out and slaps a sucker onto his forehead. Cat cries out as he slumps down out of view. Next view is of the can of beans sitting innocently on the side again. The can turns into a frog and leaps into the air. As it does so, it turns into a paper aeroplane. Cockpit. Period, which is seen floating into the cockpit and landing on Rimmer's console. Rimmer screws it up and throws it in the bin with a despairing look. Golly. We can't see Cat dash, he is below the level of the work surface dash, but we can hear him.
It's stolen my cool, it's taken all my style.
His hands appear on the work surface, then he pulls himself up and we see Dwayne Dibley.
I need a mirror. I got no grace, no elan, no poise. What's it turned me into? Dwayne Dibley? Dwayne Dibley? Ah!
Midsection.
What is it? I heard noises.
Look what it did to me, it's turned me into Dwayne Dibley dash the Duke of Dork.
Oh my god, where is it?
I lost it, it came in here somewhere.
Can you smell it?
The only scent I'm getting is extra strong spot cream and the dandruff shampoo that doesn't work.
It could be anywhere, it could be anything. Trust nothing. It may have outsmarted you, but it's going to have to get up pretty damn early in the M to outsmart Arnie J.
Is that a new gun? I don't recall seeing it before.
The gun, the Mahawk's the gun. God, that was close.
I hope you're right, apostrophe cos if you're not, we just flushed away our only gun.
Just leave the thinking to me, keyboard teeth.
Cockpit. Rimmer enters and jabs at a button on the comms console.
Lister, Crichton, the cat was right. We had brought the Mahawk on board, but lucky for you guys, old Iron Buck was around to sort it out. That's weird, there's something wrong with this microphone. It's not transmitting.
A sucker comes into shot from the console and slaps right on Rimmer's forehead. Rimmer slides down out of shot. Midsection. Are you okay, sir?
It's removing my bitterness, taking my negativity, slurping out all my snittiness.
Cut to a close-up on the steps down from the cockpit. A slinky one of those big spring things kids play with is coming down the steps. It reaches the bottom and turns into a remote control car which drives across the room and turns back into a slinky which leaves by the steps to the rest of Starbug. It's gone now, sir. It's okay to come out. Ace Rimmer emerges from the cockpit.
Looks like we both bought a bite from the blighter. Let's track it down before it harms Krigers or Dave. I'm afraid this means death for both of us, but that's a small price to pay to save our chummies, eh?
What a guy. Listen, before we leave I just gotta change these clothes. If I don't get into some sideways iron flares and transparent plastic sandals, I swear I'll go crazy.
Do what you have to, old chum. I'll go tell them we're having a party.
Starbug engine room. Lister and Crichton are installing the OG unit. We hear a apostrophe clunk.
What was that?
The hydraulic lock, sir. We're sealed in.
It won't override.
The view screen comes on and Ace appears.
I've sealed you in the engine room, Dave. Afraid me and the cat have taken a bit of a nip from the Mahawk.
You what? It's on board.
It's taken my bitterness and cat's cool. He's in a hell of a shape dash, he's looking so geeky he probably couldn't even get into a science fiction convention.
And the Mahawk is still on the loose.
We've got it pinned down in the ops room.
Well, Levison, you need all the help you can get.
No one I'd rather have with me in a fracas, Dave, but you're the last human being alive, old love, and frankly you're just too damn valuable to risk. Only one way to guarantee victory for the Home 11, I'm going to open the airlock. Suck the little perisher out into deep space.
But sir, that would also kill you and the cat.
He won't suffer, Krigers, I'll snap his neck when he's not looking. Won't feel a thing. Believe me, he'd want it this way.
But sir, if we could capture the creature we could extract the DNA strands and re-inject you both. Restore your former personalities.
Too risky, Critty. Anyway, I don't think I could face becoming him again. Everyone has his limits. Fellas, smoke me a kipper, I'll be back for breakfast.
The screen blanks.
What a guy.
But sir, we've got to save them from themselves. Their minds are totally distorted. The cat's a complete yutz and MR Rimmer's well nice.
Charge up the bazookoids. We'll blast our way in.
Midsection. Dwayne enters in full Dibley clothing.
Ready, old chum?
Just let me check. Thermos, sandwiches, corn plasters, telephone money, dandruff brush, animal footprint chart, and one triple thick condom. You never know.
Okay, Dwayne, let's step into the airlock and get part two of the plan underway.
Oh, what plan is this?
Just step in there, Dwayne.
So, what precisely is the plan?
I think you'll find it a little more comfortable if you stand in front of me.
Why are we in this airlock?
Just relax, old chum. I'm sending you on ahead.
I'm the scout party. We hear an explosion, like someone blasting a door down. Lister and Crichton enters.
Dave, you crazy fool. We're all set to save your bacon. There's no need for you to sling your love's puds on the barbeque.
Sir, our best chance is to tackle the Imahawk together.
Yeah, one squirt of liquid delinium. It'll freeze it exactly where it stands in whatever shape it's in.
Okay, fellas, let's go.
They move into an adjoining room and find a hole in the floor.
Looks like it's lasered its way back into the engine rooms. Probably looking for you two gents. Let's go.
They all move out. Engine room. Ace kicks the door in and they all file in after him. Ace and Lister are carrying bazookoids. Crichton is carrying a somewhat smaller gun and Dwayne is carrying a thermos flask and a lunchbox.
According to the size can, it's somewhere in this location.
It's the barrel. Sorry, false alarm.
They move forward a little further, still nervously looking about.
That chain. It's moving. Sorry, nothing.
Sir, try and remain calm. You're experiencing a classic knee-jerk paranoid reaction to a terror situation. It's essential at this time that we hit the wall. Shame overload. I, sorry.
This is impossible. How can we find something that can disguise itself as anything? How can we lure it out?
Worry ye not, Davy boy. It'll strike soon enough.
They search on a bit more. Ace, Crichton, Lister and Dwayne at the rear, whistling. He has the thermos in one hand and the lunchbox in the other. He stops and looks down, puts the thermos and lunchbox in the same hand. Oops, I dropped my thermos. Excuse me, sirs. Gentlemen, I think we have a suspect. I got it. Oh, it turned into a grenade, but I got it.
Toss it away, chum.
I can throw. I throw like a geek.
Just chuck it.
Ace, Lister and Crichton all have weapons at the ready. Dwayne throws it in the air and it lands at his feet.
It's gonna blow.
Leave this to me, Davy boy. Smoke me a kipper, I'll be left freeze it, Davy boy.
Lister sprays a cylinder over it as Ace drops it onto the floor. The Imahawk is frozen solid.
But, sir, how did you know it wouldn't damage your hard light drive?
Didn't, Kruggers, just trying to protect you, chaps.
They all start to walk away.
Well, sir, better get you back to normal.
Would it be possible for me to stay like this for another 24 hours before I have to return as that ghastly maggot?
It's the least we can do to thank you, sir. And you, Cat, would you like to stay as Dwayne?
Suck my thermos. I hate being the Prince of Darkness. You never know when the next clumsy thing's going to. He taps Ace, Crichton, and Lister on the heads. The end.